Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to all for Embassy REIT's third quarter FY 2025 earnings conference call. Currently, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Our speakers will address your questions during the question-and-answer session at the end. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Sakshi Garg, Head of Investor Relations for Embassy REIT. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, Ryan. Welcome all to the third quarter FY 2025 earnings call for Embassy REIT. Embassy REIT released its financial results for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31, 2024, yesterday. As is our standard practice, we have placed our financial statements, earnings presentation discussing our performance, and a supplemental financial and operating data book in the investor section of our website at www.embassyofficeparks.com. As always, we would like to inform you that management may make certain comments on this call that one could deem forward-looking statements. Please be advised that the REIT's actual results may differ from these statements. Embassy REIT does not guarantee these statements or results and is not obliged to update them at any time. Specifically, any financial guidance and pro forma information that we provide in this call are management estimates based on certain assumptions and have not been subjected to any audit review or examination procedures. We are cautioned not to place undue reliance on such information, and there can be no assurance that we'll be able to achieve the same. Joining me today are Ritwik Bhattacharjee, our CEO, Abhishek Agrawal, our CFO, and Amish Shetty, our COO. We'll start off with brief remarks on business and financial performance and then open the floor to questions. Over to you, Ritwik.
Thank you, Sakshi. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this morning. Our business remains in fantastic shape, in large part due to the robust leasing environment in India that's driven by GCCs and, in particular, in Bangalore. We delivered our highest ever quarterly revenues, NOI, and total distributions, and we are on track to meet our leasing guidance and financials for the year. I've rejoined Embassy REIT as the CEO to ensure that the REIT continues to deliver value to all our tenants, 100,000-plus unit holders, and all our debt holders. We're deeply grateful for all your support. I also thank Arvind for his immense contributions to the REIT over the years and to the exemplary team at the REIT for their hard work that's always reflected in the way we run our business. So let's run through the operating details. We leased a total of 1.1 million square feet at 11% rental spreads. This includes approximately 700,000 square feet of new leasing and 400,000 of renewals. We leased approximately 70% of this area to GCCs, primarily from the technology, financial services, and engineering and manufacturing sectors. We leased approximately 16% to multiple co-working operators, which is a segment that continues to benefit from enterprise demand for flex spaces. We closed the quarter with a portfolio occupancy of 87% by area and 90% by value. I do want to highlight that excluding Quadron, where demand that's in Pune, where demand remains muted, we've already reached occupancy levels of 89% by area and 91% by value. With a strong pipeline of approximately 2 million square feet, we remain on track to achieve our annual leasing guidance of 6.5 million square feet and the year-end occupancy guidance of 88% by area and 92% by value. On SEZs, we've converted 1.1 million square feet of SEZ area across Bangalore, Noida, and Pune in Q3. Our total denotified and demarcated area now stands at 6.4 million square feet since we started the process, of which 74% is already leased. Around 400,000 square feet is under conversion, and we're confident completing this in Q4. On the development side, we handed over a 600,000 square foot office tower to a global banking major in Embassy Tech Village in Bangalore. We will deliver the remaining three towers that total 1.4 million square feet by the end of this financial year. Our development pipeline now totals 7.4 million square feet. This will cost us approximately 3,800 crores and result in incremental stabilized NOI of approximately 800 crores, which implies a 19% yield on cost. Leasing demand in Bangalore remains robust. The calendar year 2024 clocked the highest ever gross absorption of 74 million square feet and net absorption of around 45 million square feet. GCCs are driving this trend, coupled with robust demand from flex operators. We see further momentum through CY 2025, and with our pipeline, strong relationships with leading GCCs and the leasing community, we remain ideally positioned to benefit from these leasing tailwinds across our portfolio. I will now hand it over to Abhishek to present our financial updates.
Thank you, Ritik, and good morning, everyone. Let me take you through the financial highlights for Q3. We grew both our revenue from operations and net operating income by 9% year-on-year to a record rupees 1,022 crores and a record rupees 829 crores respectively. The increase was mainly driven by new lease-up at high-releasing spreads, contracted rent escalations, and new buildings delivered and acquired during the period. Our hotel segment NOI grew by 16% year-on-year due to an occupancy uptick of around 400 basis points to 59% as well as an ADR growth of 13%. We declared distributions of Rs. 559 crores or Rs. 5.9 per unit for the quarter, representing a 13% increase year-on-year. This increase was driven by an uptick in our NOI as well as positive working capital changes, which was partially offset by an increase in our interest costs. During the quarter, we successfully raised Rs. 1,000 crores of coupon-bearing bonds at 7.73% to repay certain existing higher-cost debt and saved around 70 basis points in annual interest. Post this refinance, our net debt book totals over 19,000 crore rupees, implying a 32% leverage ratio and a 7.93% average in-place interest rate. 51% of our total debt book is at floating rates, positioning us well to take advantage of any rate cuts in the future. Lastly, on our forward financial outlook, we remain on track to achieve our financial FY25 guidance. We continue to expect our NOI to be in the range of ₹3215 to ₹3345 crores and our distributions to be in the range of ₹22.4 to ₹23.1 per unit. At midpoint, this guidance implies 10% year-on-year growth in NOI and 7% growth in DPU. While we will provide detailed guidance for FY26 during the next quarterly call, I want to highlight that we are confident of delivering an even stronger performance during the next year. This is in line with our earlier commentary regarding Embassy REIT being on an exponential multi-year growth cycle. We look forward to sharing more with you at the end of this financial year. With this, let's move to Q&A, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. We would also request participants to restrict their questions to 2 per participant. If you have a follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you so much. And congratulations on decent uptick in DPU. My first question is, while NOI growth looks strong, we are seeing some bit of weakness coming on the solar side. Even the PLFs have been lower while you talked about tariff being lower last time. But PLFs continued to be lower. Can you comment a bit on what's happening there?
Yeah, so Puneet, this is Abhishek. So on the solar, as we had during our guidance in the first quarter, we had mentioned that this year the total revenue will be lower from solar because the tariffs had gone down. What we also saw that because this is a seasonal business, during the quarter three, there were unseasonal rains also, and because of which the production was lower, the generation of the units was also lower, which actually doubled up the decrease, but that will become flattened going forward.
It was sharply lower, 20% down to 14.4% roughly in PLF terms. Just wondering what, so it's just rains or?
It is just because of unseasonal rains and also the tariffs, both of these taken together.
Yeah, it's a bit of a whammy and it's an unfortunate thing, but we can't get around it right now, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. Hopefully there is sort of an uptick as we head into next year.
Yeah, okay. Second is on the working capital side, some bit of, you know, the support came from the working capital as well. If you can talk a bit about what are the elements there, possibly deposits, I mean, how much of deposits would have contributed, some color would be good.
Yeah. So, Puneet, there are a couple of reasons because of which working capital went up. One is what we had done is during this current year, we paid the property tax between Q1 and Q2. But during the last year, we had paid property tax in QC also. So that was one big mover. Second is, as you rightly said, security deposit. We received security deposit for all the leasing that we had done in Q1 of this year and Q4 of last year. So those two are the big components which, because of which the property, the working capital actually increased.
How much would that deposit be roughly, if you can
quantify? You can say deposit, the total increase is around from Q3 this year to Q3 last year, around 60 crore, and the impact of property tax is almost the balance here.
Okay, understood. And thirdly, if you can also talk about your, you know, Chennai Splendid, which is also going to commission by June 2025. What is the status of leasing there?
Yeah, let me take that. I think, you know, Chennai for us was always sort of a strategic kind of growth market we wanted to enter. It obviously took a long time to have this deal come to fruition. The pipeline is pretty robust. I think we're definitely looking at sort of, you know, close to sort of, you know, three or four major players, sort of GCC-driven, who are looking at the building. So I think the onus is really right now on building out sort of a pre-lease in the area of possibly 500,000 sq ft, right? So one of those should probably, we were hoping that we could probably get some of that in Q3. Some of the discussions have obviously slipped into Q4, so, you know, hopefully by the end of this financial year, we'll have a positive update on that. But yeah, look, there is demand. There is, you know, the blocks are online, coming online. We're not gonna stop on the development front. I think, you know, there's just too much happening in the Indian leasing market for us to sort of slow down on development. So I think, Chennai is no exception to that, and I think one of those conversations will definitely pay off. It's financial services, it's telco, you know, there's some co-working. A bunch of people are pretty interested in it.
So half of it should be leased out before it's ready. That's how
I- We're aiming for that.
Okay. And there was also an interesting comment of 388,000 being renewed at higher than market rates. Can you comment upon how high versus the market and specifically call out what those assets are?
88% renewal.
Stefan?
Yeah.
You want to take?
Give us one second. Let me just get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just, Abhishek, on the lower other income, some thoughts there would be useful. That's all from my side, yeah.
Puneet, I'll take the other income point. So what actually happened is, during the previous quarters, we had received around income tax refund of 20 crore, which was unaccounted in the books, which is-
Sorry, your voice is fading, Abhishek.
Yeah, sure. Now, is this better now?
Yes, better. Yes.
So on the other income side, what had happened is, one, during the previous quarter, we had received certain income tax refunds, which were unaccounted in the books, so it came in as an other income. Also, there were certain scrap sale income. And the third component, which was a big component, was the interest which we were receiving from M3. You'll recall that in Manyata, we had one M3 project, so we were receiving interest on that. Now that the project is delivered, the interest is gone.
Yeah, and on the renewals, let me just say that, look, it was 388, yeah, and at 8% higher, effectively across six deals. I'd say the biggest one that we saw was a Swiss reinsurer in GolfLinks that did was sort of has been a big part of the portfolio. We also had Google up in FIFC, which went out and sort of, you know, renewed 150,000 sq ft. Beyond that, you've got a couple of others. You've got effectively IBM and GolfLinks as well. So I don't want to go down completely name by name, but if you just get a sense of some of the big guys, including a VC firm up in Express Towers, there's clearly sort of people who are looking to sort of keep sort of the marquee spaces and continue to sort of have us as landlords.
Yeah, and basically willing to pay higher rents than what is available in the market. That's what.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think, I mean, it's the age-old story, right? I mean, at this point in time, there is a scarcity of, like, you know, high quality kind of spaces. So where are you gonna go? And if you've been here, we've been part of this. This is sort of the strategic part of the relationship building, right? You don't, you try and sort of keep your marquee tenants, you make sure you give them what they want, and at some point they will sort of, you know, keep paying the rents that are higher than the market. You have to understand, Puneet, I mean, these are not expensive sort of propositions for the caliber of the companies we're talking about, right? So
and Ritik, probably just to add, you know, Puneet, the entire absorption in the country today stood at about 49 million square feet on net absorption, and the net supply that came into the market was about 45 million. Thereby, you know, we're seeing that, you know, rental rates are getting pushed north side in key micro markets, and, you know, some of these marquee assets that we control, we're seeing a great demand, and thereby, you know, almost nil vacancy, and hence, you know, some of these renewals are getting renewed at higher than market price.
Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thanks, Puneet.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Once again, a reminder. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Satendra Singh from Eon Infotech Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks and welcome back, Ritvik. Ritvik, my first question is regarding the new leasing and the pre-lease. This quarter has been relatively softer compared to the quarters before. So anything to read in this, or should one see this just as a one-off and Fortune should be again firing?
Yeah, okay. Satendra, nice to hear from you and thank you for the wishes. I just want to be very clear to the market, right? This is not a soft quarter for us. We had conversations that just have slipped into Q4, and we feel that none of the trends that we're seeing is that this is still a GCC market, as evidenced in the leasing that we've done. It's effectively a very much a non-SEZ market, which is most of the leasing that we've done. And overall, there's just been a tremendous amount of sort of momentum that's just going to be pushed into Q4. From a quarter ago, we upped our leasing guidance from 5.4 to 6.5, and we're pretty confident we're going to get that. So no, there's nothing to read into this at all. I think the one big delta that kind of has played a little bit of a role in the numbers looking the way they are is that, you know, last year at this time, we did three major pre-leases that clearly sort of, you know, gave us a pretty big boost to the leasing number. But I think the pre-lease pipeline for us continues to be extremely solid, extremely robust. So, look, it's difficult managing a business and reporting it every quarter, particularly when you're looking at long-dated leases. You know, just a lot of things need to kind of get done. Sometimes it's just the numbers come out the way they are, but it doesn't belie the momentum that we have in the business or anything else that, you know, imperils the way we run it or just the outlook. Look, I mean, the way I think about sort of this year, it's going to be a great year for Indian leasing again, right? The office market is doing extremely well, and, you know, we will continue to sort of see that, you know, come into our portfolio as well. At some point, you know, this is why we're doing the development. This is why eventually we'll be on the lookout for growth. So, no, there's nothing to read into it at all, and I think everybody should take comfort from the fact that we are actually very stable and doing very well.
Thanks, and that's very good to hear. About the SEZ denotification, so any outlook on that, where we stand, and what is the road ahead for the quarter?
Satinder, if you see, we've denotified about 7.4 million square feet, and we're on track to denotify the 0.4 million square feet, right? And we've leased a significant part of whatever we've denotified, and at very high spread. So, you know, the process has become simpler. We know the process, having denotified about 7 odd million square feet, and as and when we see that there is space that gets churned out, we'll denotify. The market is robust. We're very confident about our leasing engine. So in all, it's a very positive story for us because we're getting the upside as well.
Yes. So anything more in pipeline for offering for denotification?
Sorry, say that again, Satinder, we couldn't hear.
Any more pipeline that we plan to offer to the government for denotification?
Yeah, about 0.4 million square feet is in the works for denotification.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. And Anything on data centers, are we looking at that as an opportunity in one of our parks or any view around that, given that DCs seem to be the flavor of the time with robot teams and probably ties in well with what we do?
No, data centers, no, Satinder, not on the agenda right now. We have looked at sort of the feasibility of them, but I think our assets are kind of located where I think they'd be, you know, the economics of running one or building one for us right now just don't make sense. I think we'll stick to our bread and butter of office. And, you know, over time, you know, we always continue to evaluate, you know, shifts in the market and, you know, the costs of actually building and operating different asset classes. But I think it's not on our radar right now and something that we won't focus on.
Okay, that's clear. Okay, and on Quadron, kind of your views on how do we handle that asset, given that we are about 39%, and also there's a renewal coming up in this quarter. Okay, so any view on that? Okay, are we likely to renew it? And about the property plans on this asset broadly? Okay.
Yeah, we've gone back and forth. I think we've been pretty transparent with the market on Quadron, and we've obviously got an IT services tenant there that, for all intents and purposes, will probably be an exit. Look, transparently, I think that's an asset that, you know, we've been looking to effectively monetize in some way, shape, or form, if there was sort of something to do there. You know, it's clearly been sort of a kind of market where, you know, we've continued to evaluate alternatives. You know, the two options, right? One is either you sell it for a price that's agreeable to us, or two, you wait for the market to come back. Perversely enough, I think there is actually demand that we're seeing that's, you know, beginning to sort of, you know, come up in Pune, in Hinjewadi, which is clearly sort of lagged sort of the other eastern side of the market. But at this point in time, I'm not sort of, you know, shy to admit that it's been, you know, a bit of a challenge in Quadron, but we continue to evaluate alternatives there.
Okay, and on the hotels at ETV, I was just looking up the supplementary data sheet, and the GAV movement over this quarter has not happened. So is there work going on? What are our plans around the hotels, given that our other hotels are doing very well and they integrate into our proposition very strongly? Okay, so just a view on that.
Sorry, Sadhguru, it's a little hard to hear you on that question. Can I suggest you come back in the queue and we answer that? You completely cut out there.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah? Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pritesh Sheth from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Firstly, you know, on other aspects in Pune and Noida, what's the leasing outlook there, like, you know, those are seeing some, you know, some kind of leasing every quarter. So, you know, by when can we reach 90% plus kind of, or close to 90% kind of occupancy in those assets? And second question is on the hotels. You know, while we are making some very healthy EBITDA margins, but occupancy is still, you know, probably lagging the market a bit. So you know, what's the strategy to drive further occupancy there? Those are the two questions. Thank you.
So let me take the first question. From a Noida market perspective, you know, one of our assets is almost at 100% occupancy, right? We're working very closely on the oxygen, like we've mentioned in our early earnings disclosure as well. We've got a very robust pipeline on the asset as well, with some three large transactions that we are talking and hope to get that materialized soon. Coming back to Pune, like we've always maintained that Quadron is being a little bit of an issue for us. However, again, you know, with the uptick in the leasing momentum in the country, we're seeing some conversations that we've actually started picking up. But ETZ for us continues to pick the demand, and you know, we're very comfortable on the other two assets, that's Cubix and ETZ.
Yeah, and look, on the hotels, I think, you know, there are a couple of things to consider, right? One is, when you say it's lagging the market, you know, these are not weekend hotels, you know, at the end of the day, when you think about sort of, you know, these are business hotels, which, you know, due to sort of the quality of F&B does sort of drive a fair amount of, you know, non-business traffic in, particularly if you look at sort of what the Hiltons have done. So I think, you know, the base case of the Hiltons occupancy, where we would like to actually see that is sort of obviously touching sort of the 70 plus mark, which is historically at the run rate that we've gone at. The one that I think has, you know, required a little bit of, you know, surgery, if you will, is the Four Seasons, because I think there has obviously been a little bit of pressure on that. But even there, we're actually seeing a fair turnaround. I mean, if you look at the recent results, it's at 50%, and, you know, we continue to be very focused on driving this higher. So the plan is, you know, we've got, you know, a new and a very, very efficient, you know, management team in place, and I think we're constantly looking at ways to sort of increase occupancy. This is obviously a very buoyant hotel market, and we're well aware of sort of, you know, some of the tailwinds in that, you know, across leisure, across business, and I think we're seeing that. I think the business has gone up. You know, we've done 22% EBITDA growth year on year as well. So we're seeing that. I think we just have to be persistent and keep plugging away to drive both occupancy as well as sort of, you know, all the ancillary revenue that comes from everything from conferences and F&B and so on and so forth.
Got it. That's really helpful. Thanks for answering my questions. All the best.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhinav Sinha from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi, and Ritvi, congrats on your elevation to CEO role and good quarter to start with. On the occupancy front for the company, see, we have seen some exits which were untimely in the past, but, you know, how are the trends now and how do you see this unfolding in FY26-27?
Yeah, let me start, and Amit, maybe you can you know, kick in. I think, look, we saw 700,000 of sort of exits this quarter. It was majority sort of, you know, SEZ related, and you know, there was legacy tech in Tech Village, and you obviously had IT services as well for the quarter. There's not sort of that much that we're looking at for Q4, but, you know, there's always the risk of some unplanned that comes up. We've obviously, you know, we budget and we make sure that, which is why we spend so much time thinking about sort of early sort of renewals as much as possible. And obviously these are conversations that take place sort of very, very, you know, early on with our entire leasing team. I think the outlook for 2025 calendar or FY 2026, I think, is definitely, you know, fairly good. We don't really have that many sort of expiries coming up, and I think it's all sort of in markets where we have a likelihood, fair amount of likelihood of renewals. There's clearly sort of the IT services sort of market that probably is just as the biggest risk. But the rest of it, we don't see much expiries or exits coming up from the GCC side or any of sort of the big companies for that matter. But Amit, if you want to give color on that, that'll be helpful.
Thanks, Vic. Just as to start, you know, for the 9 months ending, you know, and the last guidance that we've given as well, if you see, about 3.6 million square feet was the total expiries that we spoke about, which got moved to about 3.9, of which about 300,000 was early renewal and 0.1 was the unplanned exit, right? So, and we've been very confident about our business. We've actually scrubbed our entire portfolio, so we know through our conversations with all our occupiers their plans. And overall, from an ITES perspective, you know, our portfolio now stands about 9%. And, you know, with this, these are all stabilized, you know, portfolio. Again, you know, IBM's been a rather recent renewal in that 9%. You know, some of the other guys have been rather recent renewals in that portfolio. So forward-looking, we don't see any, you know, side winds or, you know, any, you know, surprises for us. So having said that, you know, we're in a very comfortable position with 88% occupancy by the end of the year. I think we are very comfortable with the entire portfolio.
Yeah, so there's 1.4 million coming up sort of in FY26. You know, we'd probably look, you know, there will be some likely exits out of that, but we feel good about sort of managing the rest of it and backfilling what leaves.
I have two more questions. Let me just list them out in the interest of time. So one is, how do you see the outlook for gearing and, you know, in line with that, if you are thinking about some equity raise later down? So that's one. Secondly, In line with, you know, your initial comments on the properties, seeing now some above market sort of rentals, and you know, I see the occupancy on marquee buildings, it does appear that the CBD, quasi-CBD part is doing extremely well. So does it like spread to the non-CBD parts, or do you, you know, look forward to maybe adding some CBD assets as you go ahead?
Yeah, okay. Let me just start sort of on the debt side. You know, we're at 32% leverage right now. And, you know, frankly, I've said this for literally 6 years at this point in time. You know, we're always sort of pushing a boulder uphill when it comes to our leverage. And we consider ourselves the best credit in Indian real estate, right? I mean, if you look at, you know, we have a slide in our deck that basically talks about how our interest costs. We effectively used to raise capital at, call it, you know, 300 basis points to the GSEC. That's half to around 1.5. And we raised like 17,000 crores of debt and have, you know, just the register we have is just immense. But, you know, having said that, it's always a bit of a battle, right? I mean, you know, our gearing is, you know, in this interest rate environment where you're constantly raising money at 8%, we always have to be on the lookout to a refi because it's short-termish paper. You know, we're doing leases for 10 to 15 years and we're financing paper, you know, call it, you know, 3 to 5 years, and we consider that sort of a victory. It's a tough business. So yeah, we keep an eye out on that. Our debt team does an exemplary job of making sure that we have access to the best refi terms possible. And I think if you look at the 7.73 cost that we did on the 1,000, it's just an example of how we keep constantly rolling over paper at the best cost, right? That being said, look, I mean, at the right time, if we can raise some equity, I'm not saying we're doing it right now or any of that, so please don't read into that, but yeah, having an equity cushion at some point will obviously help, but that's also dependent on market timings, and sort of just the use of proceeds, right? We do have an enabling resolution right now, and we'll take a call at the appropriate time. So that's one. On the second one, I think, you know, we're a, you know, CBD versus non-CBD, I think is more of a question that you could sort of ask relative to Mumbai or some of the big sort of, you know, commercial office standalone centers. I think it doesn't necessarily work institutionally for, you know, a business park, dominant sort of grade A, you know, micro market sort of quality that markets that we see. So I think we tend to kind of just think about micro markets, right? Particularly in cities like Bangalore or, you know, whether it's Chennai or any of these cities. I mean, we're struggling, for instance, in Hinjawadi a little bit, but, you know, you look at sort of the Northern Corridor in Bangalore and you look at Manyata's micro market, and it's absolutely booming. So I think what we always look for is, you know, ensuring that we're always sort of in the right market, I think, and we consider those to be sort of mini little CBDs, right? And within that, we're always making sure that, you know, the supply is non-threatening supply, which is why we spend so much time, you know, boosting our assets, redeveloping, you know, refurbishing, and just, you know, constantly making sure that the supply comes on. And look, if there's opportunity for us in these other micro markets to ultimately grow and, you know, potentially acquire assets, we'll certainly look at it.
Great, guys, and all the best to the team.
Thank you, Abhinav.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, great. Congratulations on your elevation. Just one question from my side. When it comes to GCCs, right, what's the sense you're getting in, you know, in discussion with them, considering the US policy making currently and the philosophy there? Are you seeing any sense of, like, say, delay in their decision making or holding up in the signing of leases, or in terms of, like, you know, outlook going ahead also, like any color there would be helpful.
I just want to give you a little bit of a perspective from a country perspective, and then, you know, kind of bring it down to the GCC. Last year we saw gross absorption of about 74 million square feet, of which about 60-odd% was driven by GCC demand. India happens to be the second largest hub for AI talent and also one of the largest pools for data scientists and analytics. The IT talent has always been a record, and Bangalore, you know, kind of, you know, is pivotal in this talent pool. Having said that, you know, overall the country is seeing robust leasing, again led by GCC. We don't see any softening, or rather the demand's always been positive. Rather, earlier this year, we saw three RFPs that have come out into the market all led by GCCs. So from us, it's been a very positive story, and we foresee in our conversations with the experts in the industry that this trend is going to continue for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, let me just add to that. I think, I mean, just step back and look at sort of the bigger picture, right? There is, you know, across, I mean, look at your business, Kunal, for example, right? I mean, you know, you work in financial services, the amount of stuff that, you know, we talk to asset managers, we talk to, you know, brokers. Our largest tenant is, you know, pretty much the world's largest bank by capitalization, right? And I think that's the kind, they continue to expand. I mean, everybody, if you look at, you know, we're building out, you know, complex in Manyata that's already sort of pre-leased to a large Australian bank, and there's, you know, just people's appetite just continues to be quite insatiable for sort of space, and you know, of course there'll be sort of movement around the quarter, and there's no, at the margin there might be sort of slight mild decision making delays or whatever, but that's more operational than it actually is on sort of broad based themes that, no, you know, India's kind of slowing down. We certainly don't see it on the leasing side. Sure, there can be decisions made on the kind of work you do and what that means in terms of AI and all that. But no, the broad sort of, you know, tailwinds are very much intact.
Sure, sure. I mean, I understand you've done great this year in entirety, but just trying to understand, like, you know, if there is any change in the narrative pre-election and post-election. That's what I was trying to
say. No, we haven't seen that, or maybe it's just too early to call. But we haven't seen it.
Sure, understood. Thanks so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dheeraj Dave from Samvad Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my voice is clear?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, my one question would be basically, when do we expect to cross 6.9 rupees, which we declared in March 2020? That has been the highest distribution. So should we look forward to next year kind of guidance, given the kind of growth you see in GCC? Well, I know, but kind of thought on that line, when we will achieve the peak quarterly distribution, which we achieved, say, 5 years back.
Yeah, look, you know, that's an interesting question. I think at this point in time, we'll stay away from sort of commenting on that. I think for the last, you know, 5 years, you know, we've really sort of toiled to ensure that, you know, net of sort of high interest rates and everything, we've done a fantastic job giving you the distributions. And now we're entering the secular kind of growth cycle that we think is certainly going to be, you know, beneficial from a DPU perspective, regardless of sort of where interest costs are, simply on the fact that it's top line and revenue driven. So I'll stay away from giving you I don't know. I can't sit here and sort of tell you when that can happen based on the fact that, you know, this happened in March 2020. But suffice to say that, you know, if the 13% year-on-year distribution is any guidance, any sort of sign, we feel very good about the next, you know, couple of years, actually, in terms of sort of the entire leasing outlook and the developments that are coming online. So it's definitely a growth cycle for us. But I'll stay away from commenting on exact sort of numbers at this point.
Well, you have not answered, but you have answered my question, so thanks a lot.
I know that. I know that.
Yeah, you answered in the sense. Yeah, that's fine. It's sufficient. I appreciate your constraint also. My second question is, this time we see that the distribution component, the tax-free component, the tax-efficient component is almost 90%. So going forward, any kind of next, say, 2-3 years, what should be the kind of, should we assume this Q3 component being the of a tax-free, taxable and tax-free, or interest and non-interest component, or do you see major change kind of in next 2 years? If you can give some.
So this is Abhishek. I think it's very difficult to say about the next couple of years, because it depends on what is the profit each of these SPV is making, and that determines what will be the dividend and how we are funding it, and how the debt is available, whether at the REIT level or at the SPV level. But what we can say is, you look at the number of this 9 months, and that will be the, I think that will be the indication of number where we will land at for the full year, this current year. Yeah, for the next couple of years, we can say whenever we are giving the guidance, that time we can discuss.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot for answering my question, and wish you all the best. And I appreciate actually what you said in the difficult time, what kind of delivery you have done. As I'm an investor for almost like 4-5 years, and appreciate team's effort to serve the investors. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vishal Parekh from Kotak Alternate Asset Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone, and welcome back to Trix.
Thank you.
I wanted to check on the ETV hotels in terms of the construction spend. So the last 2 years, we've spent less than about, I think, 100 crores. So 12 months FY24 and 9 months this year, our spend has been less than 100 crores. And then we are projecting a balance cost of about 700 crores plus, and with an estimated completion of March 26. Just want to understand, you know, are there, how are you all funding it, and do you think spending 700 crores is possible, or is it like in a hotel, there will be a lot of spend even after the completion date?
Yeah. So Vishal, this is Abhishek. So one is the way we are funding it is through debt, because all the construction that we are funding, we'll fund it through debt. Second is on the construction spend, actually, yes, what you said is right. What will happen in a hotel is that we keep on constructing, but we have certain portions which we will spend even after the construction is complete, which is largely the retention and the unpaid amount. So yeah, we will be able to do that.
All right. And just on the debt piece, in the debt schedule, I don't see any sanction which has, you know, balance limits of, I mean, to the tune of 300 crores. So is it like we keep taking short-term debt and keep funding the cost as and when they come, or we take a sanction for the project overall?
So Vishal, so what we have done is we have estimated what will be our spend quarter on quarter. Based on that, we go ahead to the banks or raise bonds, depending on what is the requirement that we have. So we take sanctions based on that. Not necessarily take a sanction for the full project, because each and every project will span over a period of 2-3 years, some 4 years sometimes. So we take based on the necessity that we have for the next 1 year.
All right. And can we take that the March 26 date for completion? So quarter one of FY 27, would be the first year for operations commencement, or is there like sort of a delay from commercially operating the hotel per se?
So, Vishal, what will happen is there are two hotels there. One is the Garden Inn and one is the Five Star. So we are expecting both of them the way you said, but then if there is any change, we'll come back to the market.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. On behalf of Embassy REIT, that concludes this conference. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.